In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. I'll be chatting shortly with singer, songwriter, guitarist Steve Conti, latter-day member of the New York Dolls, who splits his time these days between the Michael Monroe Band and pursuing a solo career. His latest single, Shoot Out the Stars, is on Wicked Cool Records and a recent coolest song of the world. It's from his upcoming album, Concrete Jangle. I'll play a portion of the song now, and then Steve will join me afterwards for today's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Coolest Conversations time here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and joining me is rock and roll guitarist Steve Conti. His long resume includes playing in the reformed New York Dolls and currently in the Michael Monroe Band, as well as pursuing a solo career. And to that end, his latest solo single, digital release out on Wicked Cool Records, is Shoot Out the Stars from the upcoming album Concrete Jangle, and that is due out on a record store day in April. It's also this week's coolest song in the world. Steve, man, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Manfred, and everybody out there listening?
That's right, in satellite radio listening land. Concrete Jangle is coming out record store day. That's like Saturday, April the 20th. Coming out on Wicked Cool Records.
It's on 420.
On 420.
All you heads.
That's right. How coincidental is that?
And if you've seen the cover art, you'll see I have a couple of little hidden Easter eggs there.
All right. Well, so like record store day, I got musician friends that are, you know, big into collecting music or records especially, and others who like cannot be bothered with that. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I am absolutely thrilled that I'm coming out on record store day. I've been wanting to have a record store day release for years, and finally I got one, and I'm very happy about it. You know,
do you collect records yourself?
I have tons of vinyl. Although I am embarrassed to say that since I moved from Manhattan to the Bronx 7 years ago, I have not set up my stereo system. I've been listening to everything on a Bluetooth speaker with my phone, which is terrible. But I have a CD collection, a vinyl collection, I have DVDs, I have VHSs, and you know, I've just sort of gone into convenience mode of just like listening to things streaming and, you know, from my computer and, you know, MP3.
Well, do you recall, what is the first record that you ever bought with your own money?
With my own money? You know, yeah. There's a... It was either Chuck Berry's Golden Decade, which is like the original, like, 50s recordings of, like, Maybelline and Johnny B. Goode and all that. It was like a double album. It was either that or it was J. Geil's Bloodshot. Or Full House, one of those. It was probably early.
Do you still have them?
Oh, yeah. I got every record I ever bought. I still have, I mean, the very first record I ever owned in my life, I got for my 9th birthday. I got Beatles 65 and Rolling Stones Through the Past Darkly.
Both wow.
Compilation. So, you know, I was a Beatles and a Stones fan. People used to say, what are you, a Beatles fan or a Stones fan? You can't be both. And I was always both. And that explains my musical schizophrenia, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, hey, congrats on this coolest song in the world, Shoot Out the Stars. Like your tune, 4th of July, you co-wrote this with Andy Partridge of XTC. We're talking about working with Andy. Can you remind us how you guys met and started collaborating?
Well, you know, I've been a fan of XTC since my college days. I think in 1982, I heard Melt the Guns on my college radio station, played by DJ Matt Pinfield. You may know who he is. He was the DJ on my Rutgers college radio station, and he played Melt the Guns. And ever since then, I fell in love with XTC, went out and bought English Settlement and then every other record. And so I was thrilled to meet Steve Lillywhite at a party back in 2009. We became really good friends. And I mean, I had been sort of in touch with Andy through a guy who built guitars for Andy. And so I kind of hit him with a 1-2 punch. The guy who built the guitars for him, Dennis Fano, he repaired my guitars. He gave Andy one of my albums. And the album I have with my brother called The Contis Bleed Together was the album. And then Steve Lillywhite wrote me into a conversation with Andy on Twitter. And Andy realized that I was the guitarist in the New York Dolls at the time. And he was like, hey man, you stole my dream gig. So we became friendly after that. And he gave me some really nice reviews on my last couple albums. And then I just asked him flat out, hey Andy, you know, you liked my other releases, Bronx Cheer and Gimme Gimme Rockaway and Steve Caught the NYC. I said, why don't, would you like to write my next single with me for Wicked Cool? And next thing you know, we're doing a Zoom and we wrote 8 songs instead of just one.
So Shoot Out the Stars, was that one of the 8?
Yes. Like 4th of July, that's one that I brought in the title for. 4th of July, I actually had melody and lyrics for some of it. But we were going through, he's like, let's come up and throw some titles out. And I threw out that one. And he was like, oh, I like Shoot Out the Stars. And I said, all right, well, let's do it. And he started playing and singing a little verse. And next thing you know, the song was underway and I added the chorus. And we have a really great way of working together.
And this, and that was what you're describing, that was like through Zoom?
Yeah, we did a Zoom session. Yeah, we did like 3 or 4 Zoom sessions. So we have been in the same room before, but we have not like played music together in the same room. We like hung out and kind of passed the guitar back and forth between us and laughed and told jokes and listened to records and stuff. But when I was in his town of Swindon, England. But we have to actually get in a room together and do something.
Well, yeah, he needs to be playing with you.
Well, you know, Andy doesn't go out on tour anymore or on stage, not for a long time.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was just so grateful to have him have written, you know, half of my new album. It's a 10 song album, Concrete.
Okay.
And he's written co-written five of them with me. Actually, it's all of side one are Conti Partridge songs and all of side two are Conti songs.
Wow. Okay. So these the Zoom session you described, is that how all 5 of those tunes came together that are on the new album, the upcoming album?
Yeah, they started that way. Like, you know, we would come up with the germ of an idea, you know, and then I would go away and I would you know, start a little demo. I'd program some drums, some drum loops, and I'd put guitars down and I'd send him my idea and he'd give me a comment or two, and I'd add a bridge, and you know, I kind of fleshed out the arrangements. And I gave him a co-production credit because he really helped me arrange the songs as well.
Right. Well, I was going to ask about that. So he wasn't
present in the studio with you, but you would send demos back and forth, and he would suggest arrangement ideas.
Yeah, he would say, you know, that should be twice as long, or, you know, half as long, or whatever. You know, this section needs a better melody, or whatever.
And so, how long did it take to put the new album together, working this way?
Long time, because you know, it was still COVID, I think, maybe, when we first started working together. But, you know, he's in England, I'm in New York, I'm in the Bronx, so it wasn't going to be, there was really no way for it to be any different, really. I mean, I wasn't about to fly over to England. And, you know, it was a nice way of working. I mean, the only way it could have been better is if, you know, we lived near each other, and that'll never happen, so...
Well, last week, though, you actually were in the studio. You were in, is this right? Right, that's right. You were like in Finland working on the new material with Michael Monroe.
Yes, yes. It was very cold.
How cold was it?
It was 7 degrees when I got off the plane. We had just come back from Japan from playing 4 sold out shows there in Tokyo, Osaka, and Nagoya. And, we landed in a 7 degree Finland and came up to this farm, and we cut, I guess, well, there's going to be 16 songs. So, yeah, and I think about 5 of them are ones that I either wrote myself or co-wrote with some other members of the band, and it's some really groovy, cool, different stuff. I think I'm I think I'm getting my Beatle influence in with the Monroes now a little bit too, which is
nice. Okay. Well, so this is, so you know, you have a relationship, a way of working with Vandy Partridge, and is that sort of him, you know, he, in that sense, it was like shoot out some titles and it's got to bounce things back and forth. What is it like working with Michael and the other guys and the Michael Monroe band when you're coming up with new material? I mean, you mentioned some songs outright that you've written, others that were co-written. Did you already have demos, or did you just can you bring those into a session, or how do those two things compare?
Yeah, because we're all in different countries, so we don't really, you know, we don't get together and jam. Although last summer we did rent a house for a week, and we actually 3 of the songs on the album were written with a band jam at this house, and we took them away, and I wrote lyrics for them, so and Rich Jones as well, but a lot of times, you know, Rich Jones will provide, you know, finished, fully fleshed out demos with all the parts there. My demos are a little more chaotic, and I mean, the main thing is for me to get the song across. I don't like sit there and program every drum fill and every, you know, my stuff is more loose and greasy and groovy, I like it that way, because then this way I don't have to tell everybody, oh, you have to play exactly what I wrote, you know.
Right So, well, let's think here. I know you've got I wanted to mention this gig you got coming up on the 3rd of March, but you touched on you were in Japan with the Michael Monroe band. You sold out shows. How often do you get to play there with those guys? Is that like every other year, every year, or how often?
It used to be every year, but then since COVID, I guess we hadn't been back there since 2019 was the last time. So it was almost 5 years. And, but with this new record we're going to have out, we'll probably be back there before the end of the year, or maybe early 25. Hopefully once a year. You know, I love playing Japan, and I would love to find a way to.
I'll tell you my favorite places to play rock and roll, other countries, is Spain and Japan. And in both those instances, the audiences, they're not waiting around to be warmed up. I mean, they're hot from the moment.
Oh yeah.
The opening band, the first band, is playing a chord. They're going off like bottle rockets in both those places. So I know Michael Monroe's from Finland. But what's the reception to music in general, rock and roll music in Finland? I mean, are people really
Well, yeah,
audiences go crazy there, or are they much more reserved?
Well, you know, Michael is a legend here because of Hannah yeah. Rocks, of course. You know, Hannah Rocks is like one of the most popular, you know, legendary bands from the 80s anyway. I mean, there's kind of a whole different music scene here these days. It's more pop, less rock, you know, but when mm-hmm. Hanoi Rocks came out in the 80s, you know, there was nobody else like them here. You know, they were kind of coming right out of the New York Dolls,
yeah,
you know, bag, but much musically much more complex, you know. In fact, you can hear where Guns N' Roses took a lot of stuff from them, you know, songs with like seven different parts, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But so Michael is and Sammy, who's the bass player in the band, Sammy Afa, they are Finnish legends. So, you know, the places are always filled with fans who've known them for, you know, their whole lives, if they're close to our age. And, you know, we do have some young people come out as well. And Michael's been on TV a lot, and so has Sammy, and they have radio shows. And, you know, it's nice that Finland's a small country compared to, you know, the U.S. and New York City, where, you know, where I live. So what they can do here is something beyond what a lot of American musicians can do, because, you know, it's really concentrated here and everyone knows who they are. Right. So, you know, there's usually the gigs are packed, sold out a lot, and you know, people are crazy for the music and
yeah,
for us.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gigs, let's see what I've got listed here is you playing at the City Winery in New York City on Sunday, March the 3rd, John Lennon tribute show.
Yeah,
it's going to also have like Willie Nile. He's listed to perform. Photographer Bob Gruen is supposed to speak. Can you tell us about that gig?
Yeah,
is it a benefit for something?
Well, it's the company called The Theater Within. That now, I hope I don't get this wrong. Joe Raiola runs it, and it's I believe they give the proceeds to. I know that they do workshops on songwriting and music for underprivileged kids, I think. Don't forget it. I mean, I do it because I love the, you know, the charity aspect is great, but there's also great musicians that Lisa Fisher, who's an amazing singer, sang with the Stones. She's on the gig. Rich Pagano, a good friend of mine, is the musical director. My brother's on it with me.
So you're doing this Lennon gig, but you've also got something coming up with Palmyra Duran?
Yes, we're doing a show at Wicked Cool Records Night. It's Mark Valentine, Palmyra, and the Doppelgang, and my new band, Steve Conti, and his band, with all new guys, and playing stuff from my new album, The Concrete Jangle. And it's going
to- And what day is that?
That's on March, hold on. That is on, well, it's going to be at the Cafe 9 in New Haven, Connecticut on Friday, March 29th.
Oh, fantastic. Cafe 9, very cool place, man. Very cool place in New Haven, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, man, very cool place. I wanted to say, I mentioned you being in the Reform New York Dolls, and you mentioned that sort of the link between the Dolls and Hanoi Rocks. But, you know, you and I have never really spoken much about your time in the Dolls. I saw that last week you posted this really cool mashup of that Ronettes tune, Walking in the Rain, with the Ladder Dolls tune. Was it Take a Good Look at My Good Looks? That's something that you co-wrote with Sylvain and David Joe Hansen. So you posted that because it was Sylvain's birthday? Or?
Yes, Sylvain was born on Valentine's Day. How perfect. And, you know, he passed away 2 years ago, 2021. So yeah, 3 years ago now. Wow, time flies. And I did that recording and that little video clip for a memorial that was done for him at Bowery Electric. And it was still COVID time, so I didn't go out to the show. I think some people did it. Maybe it was filmed live. I don't know if there was an audience in the place, but I just sent mine in. And, you know, I recorded it at home, and actually, Stephen heard it today, Stephen Van Zandt, and was like, what? This is tremendous. This has to get released. So you know, and now I'm thinking about that. So,
well, I think it should. It's really cool.
Yeah. You know, I kind of picked, I handpicked the right verses with the right lyrics to pay tribute to Sylvain, you know, that, so it's not in the order of the songs, you know,
right.
I did my own little, mashup there. So,
Well, you know, he lived in Atlanta for a while, and he would come into this record store I used to work at, Walk Street Records, and he would comb through the bootlegs, you know, always looking for some other New York Dolls recording. And we spoke a couple of times, which was really cool. But now you had a real relationship with him. What was he like? What was it like hanging out with Sylvain?
Oh, so he was the best. I mean, you know, like I've said before, probably in some interviews, it must have been weird for him, you know, wanting to get the Dolls back together all these years. And then here comes David Johansen finally, you know, agreeing to it because Morrissey, it was at Morrissey's behest, you know, to do this Meltdown Festival in England that he was curating in London at Royal Festival Hall. He said, okay, we're going to put the band back together, Syl. And he said, and Arthur Killer Kane was still alive.
Right, was part
of that. And here's the band, you know. And so walks into the room, and you know, there's me, and there's Brian Delaney, and there's Brian Coonan, the keyboard player. You know, people he never met before in his life, being in his band. So it must have been a little off-putting for him to, you know, meet a bunch of guys that he never met before, and all of a sudden we're in his band. But over, you know, it was 6 years. So I think over time, we really got close, and, you know, that weirdness sort of dissipated. You know, we made 4 records together, 2 studio, 2 live albums. We toured the world. We went everywhere from, you know, Japan to China to Russia to Australia to Croatia, you know, places, South America, places I never thought I'd go.
Right.
And you know, we had lots of experiences together. We wrote lots of songs together. He was just—he was a total natural. You know, he was rock and roll. He's—if you open up the dictionary and look the different definition of rock and roll, it's got Sylvain's picture in it. You know, because that's what he did. You know, I play different kinds of music. I play a little blues. I play a little funk. I play a little country. I play a little jazz. You know, Sylvain was pure, right down the middle, rock and roll. You know, he lived it, he dressed it. You know, he was like part Little Rascals, you know, do it yourself, part Bowery Boys, you know, comedy. He's just an amazing guy, and we got along really well on a lot of different fronts, you know, film, old records. Yeah, I miss him a lot.
We're going to take a listen to your single 4th of July in a moment. You're going to go out on that. And I guess we've already mentioned it. It was also co-written with Andy Partridge. And let me make sure that this cut, 4th of July, that will be on the new album, Concrete Jangle.
The Concrete Jangle, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as will Shoot Out the Stars, my new
single. The Stars, yeah.
And 3 other Conti Partridge songs. And
very cool.
5 other Conti songs that I felt went along with those Partridge songs.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. My pleasure. Anytime. Very excited for the album and to post this interview when it airs. Just send me a link and I'll share it around.
Absolutely. All right, people, it's 4th of July from Steve Conti and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
4th of July. 4th of July. I'm liberated. I'm soaring high. A flying fortress dropping. Slicing through their thunder clouds.
of July. That was Steve Conta here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. It's a single from last year, and it's also going to be part of his upcoming album, Concrete Jangle, that is due out on Record Store Day, Saturday, April the 20th. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Steve for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Boston's Nervous Eaters, they've got a new single out on Wicked Cool Records called Vampire. And their main man, Steve Cataldo, will tell us all about it next time around on your Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.